Well, thank you for calling in, Citizen Lobbyist. Oh, what a week. What a week it has been. I'd like to start by reflecting upon a selection process that the governor has gone through to pick a replacement for former Senator Dunleavy.
Yeah, that's getting all kinds of firepower there.
Yes. So to recap for listeners perhaps who have missed a detailed following of the path, the governor chose not to pick from the three people presented by the Republican Party from the district, but chose a sitting borough assemblyman, Randall Kowalke, who had already said that he was going to run for Dunleavy's seat. Basically, in a vote taken in secret, the Republicans in the Senate, and the tally was not shared, I don't have information about that, they rejected and said, no, we want you to pick from a list that we provide. So there was a pause in there, and then the governor said, okay, it looks like you're saying you're not going to pick unless I pick from a list, so I will pick someone from the list, and he picked a Mr. Braund, B-R-A-U-N-D.
Right, Thomas Braun, yep.
And
that's kind of the cliff version of it, Mike.
Okay, good. And any other information that we could share with listeners about that process?
Well, I do think that the Valley delegation stood sort of in unison of against what they said was the process that was breached. I guess we should remind viewers that this isn't something that's set out in code that says that the governor must do these things. This is just the traditional way of doing things. And there's been plenty of instances, I think, back in the Sarah Palin administration where the governor didn't like who was put in front of them and appointed somebody else. But apparently this was not, they did a count. I saw some tallies of maybe 11 names that were at their meeting, which they said was a public meeting, although I don't suspect anybody but reporters and those of the party attended. They took their own straw poll, and Mr. Kowalke was there but did not garner enough votes. And so they took the three top vote-getters, which would appear to be very strong party ideology that's already entrenched, Mr. Dunleavy's ideology, and that's who they forwarded to the governor. So, you know, the governor has been unpopular sometimes doing what he thought was not so much for party but more for people, and that he sometimes makes some unpopular decisions that he thinks just better for the state of Alaska. So knowing Mr. Kowalke, knowing his work on the assembly, he was familiar with his district. He ran twice, once to be elected and then again to be reelected, and it was a close race, and there was you know, some uneasiness with that when there, as there is with any close race probably, but he thought he was the best guy for the job, but that was clear from what the Republicans in the Senate was telling him, that there would not be a positive vote if he put Mr. Kowalke through that, which you don't want to put anybody through that type of an exercise. He knows that Mr. Kowalke is going to run anyway. And, you know, maybe if it could be said by some people that if they wanted to do what was best for Alaska, they would put Mr. Kowalke there, give him a few months to see how he performs so voters could make a more educated decision because he was going to be one of the candidates.
Right.
That wasn't to be. And now he's picked, I think it would seem that the party favorite was Mr. Rauscher, who was in the House. But there was some little kerfuffle on something that he placed on his office door that made the house around, that made people a little jumpy. And now that they have, he's moved on to the last name in the that they put in front of him, that was Mr. Braun, which not many people know very much about because he's never held a public office.
That's a pretty big jump, right?
Not a Perestroika. There's lots of people that haven't, you know, held a public office that have done that. There's been some interesting Facebook reports, posts that he's made some declarations about being very pro-life because he remembers his time in the womb, which raised a few eyebrows, but we'll get to see. I guess you could say that the governor has called their bluff, and we'll see how that works.
And of course, there's immediately, I mean, we've already begun, Mr. Kowalki, who had already said he's going to run. I mean, this only lasts through this session, and whoever would occupy the seat would be running anyway. So there's the primary and the rest of it. So this will be interesting.
Well, the other thing to consider is, had Mr. Kowalki been appointed, he couldn't be campaigning or raising any money
during the
time he was in Juneau. Now he's completely free to do that, as Mr. Braun will be the one that will not be able to do that. And it's sounding more and more like this session may go beyond the 90 days for sure. They're already 30 days into it, but you may be no special sessions, but they could go the full 120, which leaves a very small window to get out and raise funds and get ready should you want to get reelected. So it's an interesting quandary. It's been a pretty rocky send-off here with a couple of other appointments having to happen in the House side, one of which we're still waiting on. A rough time to get all your job done on a end of a second year of a two-year legislative session. And it's going to be an interesting ride here to the bitter end, it would look.
Yeah, and someone stepping into that seat in the midst of things as they're rolling along, you're right to point to all of the rest of the story. This may work to Mr. Kowalki's benefit if he ultimately runs and should be elected and so on.
I think that most people that know Mr. Kowalki and know anything about his campaigning is he is a fierce campaigner. And it's a very, very big district. That district runs from Valdez all the way up to Talkeetna, and it's a huge swath and very rural, and it takes a lot of energy to get out and do that. And he is a very fierce campaigner. He does not sit still for very long, so I would imagine he's going to be quite aggressive. And, you know, as these things go, they get support from like-minded legislators that are running, and so we'll see. They will have a decision to make. There has been sort of accustomed not to support candidates in the primary by the parties, but that's been broached. That has been breached a few times this last couple of elections, so it'll be interesting to see if the parties throws their weight around poor Mr. Kowalki during the primary, or if he waits and they wait and let it settle out. If Mr. Braun even runs again, he may get down there and decide this isn't as much fun as it looks like from the cheap seats.
Right, right. Okay, well, this week we also had a Palmer City Council meeting. It was actually two meetings. It was a joint meeting that began at 6 on Tuesday with the Park and Recs Board. A lot of people sitting around the tables there, and generally everyone nodding in favor of improving parks and recreation, and also pointing out that they looked back at a plan that had been provided some years ago, and there's been some progress made in the sense that there are ball fields and an ice rink and trails that have begun to appear. More progress being looked at, and generally speaking, it was just kind of a review of the state of things. The regular meeting was dominated by expectation, because the expectation in the regular meeting was for a Golden Heart Award to be given to former city council person Linda Combs. And she was there with her husband and other people from the family. And that was a good time. There were a number of people, including former Senator Linda Menard, who was there to speak in behalf of Linda Combs.
Did they talk about who that award has gone to in previous years, Mike? I wasn't able to.
I believe this is a first.
Oh, okay.
And
I know that it was Mr. Councilman Best that kind of is his idea, but it hasn't been ever awarded. Is that right?
Okay, I'm saying to the best of my knowledge, following along. This has been his idea, and I'd have to check. So we're always willing to say about something, this is what we think, but we would have to check a bit further, and I will.
Okay.
But at this moment in time, I'm saying this was kind of a first, and it was designed to just recognize someone differently than, for example, the mayor's award is given in the summertime. But this one, this seemed to be well deserved. People were very happy that she had been chosen. She has had a long, long career with a lot of activities, not only serving on the council, but, of course, being involved in many, many other activities as well. The meeting itself was relatively short and was and pretty much consisted of some reports and, I would say, approvals of some actions to be taken that were in the normal course of events. That was pretty much it. Coming up, of course, next week is some additional meeting scheduled with the Borough Assembly and the school board.
Nope, it's canceled. Mike.
Oh, that's right.
I was just looking that up.
Next week,
the assembly meeting has been canceled. They're going to have a special meeting the following week, but actually it's only one thing on the agenda. It's approval of some construction for the pool bond. But we will have a school board meeting.
Right. Tell me about, do you have any more detail about why the assembly meeting has been canceled?
I don't know. They canceled that some time ago, and I don't know if it's because, more likely it's because they don't have a quorum. It could be people are traveling or...
Right. Okay.
How the weeks fall. I don't really know how that washed out, but yeah, they are not going to have a meeting, so...
Okay, just a school board meeting next week.
Just a school board meeting, and their agenda is up. It's nothing sticks out as anything being too controversial, but since there's only one meeting, it gives listeners a chance and to go in. It's always good. I encourage people to go to those meetings. School board meetings are probably the least attended of the meetings, and sometimes they're the best. And this one has starts out with a it looks like they're going to have the color guard started out, and those are always good when the kids start those things out, and they're going to approve some new principals for Birch Street Charter and the Butte Elementary School, and those people are usually there, so if your children go to that school, it's an opportunity to get a sneak peek at who's going to be new principals there, and so, yeah, they've got not a huge agenda, but kind of an interesting one, so we'll encourage listeners to go and partake of that.
Right.
That's next Wednesday.
Right. Now, I just wanted to point out something. We had in the studio two people from the finance department that were interviewed yesterday. And on the budget. They're budget people. They were very, very knowledgeable. And Jillian Morrissey interviewed them. And they did a nice piece of work describing the detail of just how the budget is put together, the various meeting things, et cetera, that are happening. But the reason why I'm mentioning that this today is that today, February 15th, Thursday, there's going to be a Facebook Live presentation.
I think that I am so glad to hear that, especially because I haven't been able to make any of the budget hearings, which I normally go to. So that's wonderful that they're putting it up that way and they're meeting people where they are. I'm really excited about that, Mike.
Okay, so the detail is if you go to Metsu K-12, the school district's website, you will find a reference right on their homepage to Facebook Live, and the detail is that they're hosting this live session with the superintendent, Dr. Monica Goyette, to go over next year's preliminary budget. And the discussion that went on yesterday pointed out this is a preliminary budget that's being worked on in order to present to the Borough Assembly and others. And it's the Facebook Live session. It will answer any questions you may have. And they're asking that people who are interested submit your questions in advance. And if you go to that website, you'll see a place where you can enter your questions or concerns about next year's budget and submit them. You may submit as many questions as you like. You may view the questions also that have already been submitted. Kind of an interesting thing. And the video will be posted after the 15th for those who are unable to watch live.
Not good.
So all of that is, and then there is, by the way, in addition to that, a budget priority survey where they're asking for input and take a brief survey to help set up budget priorities for the next year. And these responses on that survey will also be shared. So really a very transparent, I thought, very interesting approach to this year's budget preparation.
Excellent. Yeah, I love that they're trying new ways of getting people. You know, these aren't the most exciting things. Sometimes people complain about the budget probably the most, but they just don't take the time to understand it. And kudos on the Betsy School District for finding a way to reach people where they are, and I encourage people to listen to that. I'll certainly be listening to it. You said it'll be back up there, so if people miss it tonight, it'll be archived, and you can do it at your own at your own convenience.
Yep, that's a good thing. So before we finish up, I'm wondering, any words, whispers, whimpers, whatever, out of Juneau about what may be happening there as far as progress made toward the budget?
Well, they're plugging away. I've listened to probably more gavel to gavel than I wanted to, but they are certainly hearing from, they're hearing from departments mostly now. And there's been some interesting, I think, Senate hearings, hearing from departments on health and social services, I think, presented yesterday. One bill that has flown through that I'm happy to say has been the senior benefit bill that was both Representative Kawasaki in the House side from Fairbanks had a the senior benefits used to be the longevity bonus, but that's gone away now. Senior benefits and some means tested a bonus from the state that means a whole lot to people that are in low income, and it's been downsized and downsized now. It's just not very much, but it's certainly helped if you're one of those people that are barely making ends meet. And there has been a straight, has to be, they've been extending it 1 year at a time. Representative Kawasaki from Fairbanks did introduce a bill this year to give it a 5-year sunset, so it gives some stability to that program. And then Senator Pete Kelly, also from Fairbanks, maybe not too oddly, who will be running against Mr. Representative Kawasaki for that Senate seat next year, put in a bill for a 6-year sunset on it. So that bill has been flying through. In fact, it's already passed the House. I will say that Representative Eastman voted against it. I've not quite figured out what his reasons are about that. We'll be trying to figure that out. But it's flying through the Senate side too. So those big, some big bills are really flying through there. You can tell there is the intent on some people to get it done, to get out of there. There's even a bill to make it, put it on, I think, on the ballot to make it a 90-day session so they can't keep running over like this. But there's still much work to be done, Mike. If they get a budget done by 90 days, all unguardedly optimistic they might be able to do that. Whether they'll get their work done, I'm looking more at the 120 days. I think we might escape a special session just because it is an election year, but the wheels are turning down there. Certainly these upsets, having to fill vacant seats, unscheduled vacant seats, aren't take a lot of time away from committee time, and that slows the process down, too. So that hasn't done them any favors, but it
is
what it
is. This is an unusual number of vacant seats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, if you look at the trend in the lower 48, it's not so unusual. But most people are waiting until, they have to run for election. Mr. Dunleavy chose to leave his seat.
Sure. I'm thinking of the three others. Right, yeah.
Right. There have been a couple others that were asked to leave. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
It's going to be an interesting session to the bitter end.
All right. And in the background, of course, is the shadow of the recent news about just how much money the permanent fund has lost over the recent turmoil in the stock market. When you talk about 4%, then you're talking about, billions of dollars paper disappear.
Yeah, you can tell the people of the Permanent Fund have been in to speak. Andrea Rodell has been in to speak to the Senate. At least once I caught part of it, and you can tell they're getting predictably nervous just at the reluctance of the state to come to any conclusion or the legislature to come to any conclusion how much and if they're going to use any of the Permanent Fund to maintain government. It's making them all very uneasy, I would say. So that has continued on. That's the big question, isn't it, Mike? Two big questions this year that have to be answered. What are they going to do about the skyrocketing cost of health care? And what are they going to do to diversify or to fix the ongoing budget crisis and try to pull us out of this recession? You've got the Senate side that's saying that, oh, it's almost over. We've already made it. Price of oil is going up. I think crude was about $59 a barrel yesterday. That isn't up that much. So they're optimistic. We think it's over. You've got the House side saying we don't think we should legislate on hopes. We need some security here, and we need a plan going forward that we can depend on. And we'll see who wins out.
Sure. Okay.
I will say on the 21st, just as a reminder, I've been seeing some ads that there is going to be, it's a Saturday, I believe, that all of the Valley delegation is going to be at the Senior Center. I want to say at 10 a.m., but check their Facebook pages.
Okay.
For a town hall, so we'll maybe encourage people to go to that. They haven't been home for a while, so this is the time to get their ear if you do have a strong opinion about anything that is or isn't happening in Juneau.
All right. Well, thank you, Citizen Lobbyist, for calling in today.
All right.
We'll continue on seeing just what comes up at all these meetings.
Have a good day. Have a good week.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye.